We went from summer to winter. We're going back to summer again and spring. We're jumping around everywhere, but it's good to be here today. I'm so glad to see every one of you today on this beautiful day. We are in our series. We concluded today a short series called Battlefield Prayers. Don't we all face some battles? We're in the Christian life. Unfortunately, Jesus never promised that when you came to him, you would be free from battles. He never did. Unfortunately, serving Jesus has some battles. And we go through times that are difficult. Have you ever had those moments in life when you feel like you've just been punched in the gut? Anybody know what I mean? Have you ever had those gut punch moments when it's like, oop, I didn't see that coming, and I hate this. It doesn't feel very good. We all face those things. We really do. I was driving down Upward Road earlier this week, and I was behind a car, and I saw the car. It said Jesus on the car, and it said a couple other things about their family, and it said something like, we follow Jesus. So they were driving a little slow, so I went around them, you know. They're following Jesus slower than I might like. Anyway, as I passed, I looked over to see this person, and it was a young lady, I assume a young mother, and she was going down the road, and she just had tears streaming down her face. She was just sobbing, driving down the road about something. And I thought to myself, I wish I could stop and talk to her for just a minute. And she made a turn and was gone. But I thought to myself, I wish I could just tell her that Jesus sees her right now, where she's at and what she's going through. I was praying for her as I went by, and it amazed me because I've been in the car before. I hadn't necessarily been crying. I don't do that very much, but I've been in the car before when I felt like I was facing a battle that I couldn't carry. And it's just comforting to me to think that Jesus sends his people sometimes when you're weeping in the car to drive around you and pray for you, and you don't ever even know about it. And I think there's somebody here today, or will be today, that's in the middle of something, and you've had a gut punch, and you've had a blow, and you're wondering what's going to happen, and you're wondering what you are going to do. I want you to hear this, that God sees you, and he knows where you are, and he's sending people to help, and he's doing things for you that you can't even see in this moment, and you will never know all that he did for you until you get to the other side, and we have all eternity to talk about it. In this life, you can't see all the help that's with you, but he's there, and the body of Christ is there, and you're going to make it through this. It's in these times, in these battles, many times, and I don't like this. I don't like everything I read in the Bible, even though I believe it and know it's true. I don't always like it. The truth is this, that it's in those moments of battle. It's in those moments when we don't know what's going to happen. In those moments of uncertainty, when we cry out to God, that we pray our most powerful prayers and we take our most powerful steps. Over the last 3 weeks, we've talked about two battlefield prayers, the third today. The first one we prayed and we said from the battlefield, God, speak to me. Because in the midst of the battle, we need to hear God's voice. We need to know what he wants us to do. We need to hear his comfort. So we pray, God, speak to me. Last week, Pastor Greg preached. Didn't Pastor Greg do a fantastic job last week sharing the word with us? Loved hearing that word. He taught us to pray the prayer, God, search me. God, come in and check my heart out. Know my anxious thoughts. Know what I worry about. Know the sin that is in my life, God. In the battlefield, our anxieties and our sins are laid bare before God so they can be dealt with. Today, we're going to pray the third powerful battlefield prayer. We're going to pray the prayer, God, send me. God, send me. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 6 today. Isaiah 6, 1. We're going to read several verses today. Look at it with me. Isaiah 6, 1. It says, it was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne and the train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah had an incredible vision of heaven. Skip down to verse 5. It said, then I said, this is Isaiah's reaction to seeing all the glorious things he did in the throne room of God. He said, then I said, it's all over. I'm doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among the people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." I'm going to be inviting you today that as you see the wonderful grace of God that has come to bear to combat and cleanse you from your sins, as you face battles of uncertainty in this life, to pray the prayer that Isaiah prayed, "God, here I am, send me." Will you pray this prayer with me today? Will you just pray this prayer? Lord, here I am, send me. Lord, I make myself available to you for whatever you want to do in my life. Lord, I make myself available to you to serve you however I can in this life. Lord, I open my heart to you that when I see a need, I want you to call upon me to meet that need. Lord, whatever you need done, I want to make myself available to do it for your kingdom. Here I am, Lord, send me. Now, Isaiah was in a pretty big battle when he prayed this prayer. He says this, and we tend to just skip over it, and sometimes the verses we just skip over and contain a whole lot of power. He said, "It was in the year that King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord." That's a pretty powerful thing. In the same year Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. It's very powerful. Many people, many scholars believe that King Uzziah was Isaiah's first cousin. So to him, this would have been a very personal loss to lose someone that was close to him. The prophets were often close advisors to the king and had a very close relationship. So he lost somebody that was close to him personally. He also lost somebody that was very important nationally. Uzziah was the king over Judah. Now get this, he became king when he was 16 years old. Can you imagine a national leader that's 16 years old? I love our teenagers, and they're serving today, and I love them. But I'm not quite ready to put one of those in national leadership yet. Can you imagine a whole nation of Judah being led by a king that's 16? But guess what? Uzziah did a wonderful job, and he was a great king, and he reigned for 52 years. Many, many people had lived and died under his reign. Many, many people in Judah had never known another king. And he was really a great leader. He was a builder. He was what you would call a shaker and a mover. He was militarily a really great leader. He built up a strong nation. And he did great things in the nation of Judah. Yet at the end of his life, near the end of his reign, he really messed up. He went into the temple and offered incense. And that was a job that was reserved for the priest alone. He took a job that wasn't his and in a way profaned the temple of God. Later, he was struck with leprosy and he was confined and put away. You have a king now with leprosy, and he suffered with that until finally he died. So you have this tremendous story of a young man who rose to power and served faithfully, yet he came to a tragic end. And Isaiah must have been at a time of despair and discouragement. Life threw him a huge curve. Life ever thrown you a curve? Any of you know what a curve is? Any of you ever stood up at home plate and seen a curve ball? It comes at you and you wonder if it's going to hit you, and then it drops in there for a strike, or it looks like it's up here and winds up down here. Life does that sometimes. Our enemies do that sometimes. God himself even allows us to encounter a few curves when things happen in life that you didn't expect and it hurts. And in those moments, what do you think? What am I going to do now? Any of y'all ever been in a "what am I going to do now" moment? Can I see your hands? There you go. You do have hands. All right, that's good to know. But you get in those moments. Isaiah was in one of those moments. But he says this. He said, it's in that moment, at that time, I saw the Lord. I'll tell you what God will do for you. He'll come to you, and sometimes in the moment of your deepest, darkest trial and discouragement, when you say, God, what am I going to do now? That moment when you think is your worst is when God opens up things to you that are so powerful that you can't even imagine them. Can I drop a word on you this morning? Can I put a word in your heart this morning? Are you with me? Some of you right now are in a time wondering what you're going to do. But God's doing something great in the midst of your discouragement and disillusionment. You're about to see something you've never seen before. Isaiah said it was in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He walked into the very presence of God in the middle of a trial. Now I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you have ever tangibly experienced the presence of God? I mean, you know you're in God's presence, right? He's here this morning, and he's omnipresent, so he's everywhere. But have you ever been in a place where you literally could tangibly feel that God was in the room? That never happened to me growing up. I was raised in church. I prayed this sinner's prayer when I was about 7 years old, and I believe God heard that prayer, but it didn't really make complete sense to me until I was 19 years old. I'd left home and went to college, and I knelt down in my bed and I said, Jesus, take my broken life and do whatever you can with it. That was not a very flowery, proper sinner's prayer, but it's what I had, and God heard it, and God saved me. And my initial evidence of being saved was that there was peace in my heart where there had been fear before. But I didn't experience fireworks when I came to Christ. I didn't. It was kind of a thing that I did it. Okay, now I feel really good. Now my life's changed. I'm headed a different direction. But I didn't really have any emotions or any real feeling about it. Fast forward a year later, and I was in a church service. A pastor was preaching. His name was David Wilkerson. He's a very powerful man of God. He's in heaven now. But he was preaching there. And man, when he preached, if you've never heard of David Wilkerson, let me tell you what happens. He preaches, you run to the altar and pray. He preaches, you run and pray, and you get right with God. That's just kind of a man he was. Well, he preached, I ran to the altar. I did. I'm like, man, I want to meet God. Well, I'll tell you what happened to me. I'm 20 years old, and I'm kind of skeptical of stuff. I don't buy into all kinds of crazy stuff that I hear sometimes. But when I got down to the altar, I knelt down, and I'm telling you, when my knees touched the floor, something happened to me. And it was like I was in a holy cloud. The closest thing on earth I can compare it to is when you're flying in an airplane. And have you ever been going up through the clouds and you're in a real dark cloud and it's scary? You get on up higher and now the cloud is so bright that you can't hardly look out the windows. This means yes. This is the best thing I can compare it to. Is I felt as if I was in this bright cloud. And I had my eyes closed, but it still was like bright all around me. And the only thing I could do was shake and weep. I didn't know what I was crying about, but I was bawling. And I don't cry very much. Anybody else here that doesn't cry a whole lot? Nothing, nothing. Am I the only one in the building that just doesn't cry? Well, thank you. Those of us who don't cry a lot, when we do, we don't understand what's even going on. Because this doesn't happen to us much. So I'm there thinking, what is wrong with me? And I'm weeping, and there's this holy cloud all around me. And I knew that I was experiencing the very presence of God over my life. I was there about 15 minutes, and it's like that cloud just lifted. And I got up, and I'm telling you, I couldn't hardly walk out the door. I was shaky. And I'm 20 years old. Here's what I told the guy. The guy said, what happened? And here's what I said. I said, if you got too much of that, it could kill you. I told him that. I said, I think God knows just how far he can turn the dial, because if he turned it anymore, I'd be dead. The presence of God is so real and so powerful. And if you've never had an experience like that, don't be afraid of God doing something like that in your life. Invite his presence into your life. Now, that doesn't happen to me every day. That's only happened a few times since then. But it's so real to me, I can still feel it today. Isaiah was caught up into the very throne room of God out of his deepest, darkest trial. And there are a couple things he experienced there that I think we can experience in the presence of God. First thing he said was this. It's an odd thing to say in the presence of God, but the first thing he says is, it's all over, I'm doomed. You like to think, people say, what will I do when I get to heaven? I'll run up and hug Jesus. I'll fall at his feet. Surveyed a kid one time, said, what kids? And one kid said, I'm gonna ask Jesus all the things that my parents couldn't tell me. Every question my parents didn't know the answer to, I'm gonna ask Jesus. Isaiah had a very different reaction. When he walked into God's presence, he said, I'm doomed, for I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet, I have seen the Lord, the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. First thing that Isaiah recognized in the presence of God was his own sin. In the presence of God, he saw his own sin. He said, I have filthy lips. Oh, goodness. I have recognized that the last thing God straightens up in my life is my mouth. You don't have to say amen. I've been here 27 years. You can't fool me. Last thing is our mouth. James said the tongue is just uncontrollable. Nobody can tame it. It's often the last thing to surrender to God. Isaiah recognized his own sin in the presence of God. And it's not an uncommon experience in the scripture. Job got into the presence of God and recognized his sin. The prophet Daniel experienced this. Several people got into the presence of God and said, this is rough. It's a terrible place, because the presence of God is ruthless against our sin. Not to condemn us, not to shame us, not to chastise us, but to challenge our sin. I want you to understand, if you're getting in contact with a God who's not challenging you, you're not getting in contact with God. Boy, that's a good word right there. Not even in my notes, but you get in God's presence, he will challenge you. Again, he's not here to beat you up or to shame you. He's here to invite you to a higher place. All over the scripture, Daniel, Peter, the apostle Peter, whom Jesus loved, he was close to him. I love that Simon Peter's in the Bible. You do too. He had a big mouth. He spent 3 years with Jesus and he was still cussing. Read your Bible. Jesus loved him. One of the first times Jesus met him, Jesus performed a miracle. They were fishing and didn't catch any fish. Jesus said, cast your nets over to the right and you'll catch some fish. Peter's like, all right, he does it. The boat fills up with fish to where the boat's about to sink. Peter's response is this, Luke 5:8. He says, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. In the presence of Jesus, his sin was pointed out. Can I tell you this? Don't run from that. Don't run from your sin being pointed out. Because God does not point your sin out to beat you up. He points your sin out to help you grow. Some people go to a church and the first time preacher says anything about sin, I'm out of here, this is judgmental. It's just legalism. Now, I've been in churches where there was judgmentalism and there was legalism. But if you go to a church that'll never challenge you to grow, you're in the wrong church. If you go to a church that never talks about sin, you're in the wrong place. If you're in a church that beats you up about it every week and never gives you any grace, you're also in the wrong place. But you need to be in a place where you have a healthy challenge, and the presence of God will challenge you in your sin. God loves you just as you are, but he will not let you stay there comfortably. Amen, amen. Isaiah was confronted by his own sin. He recognized it. Then it says this in verse 6 and 7. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he'd taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now, when I recognize my own sin and I see a heavenly being flying towards me with tongs and there's a burning coal in it, this cannot be good. I say, it's like I'm doomed. And there comes that big strange bird that flies around and says, holy, 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 and he's coming at me bringing the fire with tongs. I'm in trouble. But what Isaiah thought was the fire of judgment was actually a fire of cleansing. The fire of God comes to you to set you free. He flew with a burning pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it. Isaiah confessed his filthy lips. And the seraphim said, we can take care of that. Here's a coal from the altar. And he said this, now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. Don't you love that? Isaiah recognized his sinfulness. Then Isaiah received the grace of God. The message of the gospel. Isaiah wrote this in the very first chapter of his book. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Can I tell you, when God points out your sin in your life and his presence exposes sin, it does so to cleanse you of that sin and to remove your guilt and shame forever. Amen. That's better preaching than your amen in this morning. God takes away our sin. I said, God takes away our sin. God removes our past from us through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's good news this morning. That's good news this morning. We're spoiled here. We're spoiled. I was back there in the back and I saw this family, this whole family get baptized today. Whole family got baptized. Mom, dad, three kids. And I was back there and I thought, that's in the Bible. It's in the book of Acts. So I opened my Bible app and I was in a hurry because I was about to walk out. I was trying to find it. And it popped up, do you love the Bible app? And by mistake, I hit no. So I just want y'all to know, I've sinned already this morning. I've said, I don't like the Bible app before I walk out and preach. But I looked it up in Acts 16. A man who was the jailer over a jail where Paul and Silas were. An earthquake shook the jail. And Paul and Silas didn't run away. They had an appointment in this man's home. And the man and his wife and all their kids got saved. And they baptized them right there. We saw that today. We get to see so many good things at Upward. Can I tell you, we cannot afford to let God's grace become common to us. We see so many stories of people getting saved and lives changed. We need to remember that once we were sinners and God's grace came and set us free. Can I tell you today, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ and you're living in sin right now, I'm not coming here to beat you up today. I'm coming here to throw you a life vest today and say there is forgiveness, there is cleansing. I don't care how deep, dark, dirty your past is or was, you don't have to live there anymore because Jesus died and he paid the price for your sins. And if he paid for your sins, there's no point in you paying for them. They've already been paid for. Isaiah experienced his own sin, but on the heels of it, he experienced the grace of God. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. We invite people to church, right? We're inviting people for next week, right? Next week is one of the best chances you will ever have to get your friends to come to church. Easter and Christmas, best chance you have to get your friends to come that don't know Christ. We're not inviting people from other churches because we're all the church, right? We're not trying to empty another church to fill ours. We don't do that. We're inviting people who don't go to church, right? I've got two people from my gym coming. Amen. You can tell I go to the gym. I know you could tell. You're looking at me saying, how's that happening? You can tell. You know why I do this self-depreciating humor? It's the most response I get out of y'all. But I'm inviting a couple people. I'm going to get three or four. But you ever invite somebody to church and they say, well, when I fix my life, I'll come to church. You can't even fix a broken egg. And you think you're going to fix your life. Forget it. You haven't and you won't. Tell you how your life's going to get fixed. You stand before a holy God and let him put his fire through your life and expose everything that needs to be fixed. It's what Greg talked about last week. And then lay your life before him and receive his grace. That's what Isaiah experienced. Isaiah experienced his own sin. Isaiah experienced God's grace. And the last thing is Isaiah surrendered to God's call. This whole thing led up to Isaiah saying this. Verse 8, he said, I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. When you know all that God has done for you, when you know how he has given his life, when you really know the power of the forgiveness of sins, you want to be a part of someone else's story. You want to help somebody else experience what you have. You ever go to a good restaurant and tell 15 people about it? If I go somewhere I like, I become an evangelist for it. I tell everybody. Some of my friends, they're back there. They took me to a great, they're back there at the back. I see them. They took me to a great barbecue place. Oh, I love it. I'll tell you about it after church. You ask me where it is, I'll tell you where to go. I went there the other night. It was so full, you couldn't even get in. And I told my friends, I said, this is my fault. I've told everybody in Henderson County, come get this barbecue, and here they are. I got a better story than that, though. Jesus found me, and I failed him many times, and he's always been there to pick me up. He's cleansed me. He's taken away my past. He's set me free, and I'm free indeed because of Jesus, and I want everybody on planet Earth to know it. I want to say to the Lord, here am I, send me. Now, I know what you're thinking. When I was growing up, they would ask us to pray this prayer, and I would think, I'm not going up there to pray that. God will send me off some dangerous place. God will send me to Africa. We'd always have missionaries come from Africa, and they'd ask us to come pray, and I'd think, oh, Lord. One of them brought a big python skin in. I mean, he had a python skin. It went from side to side of the platform. I wasn't going up asking God to send me to a place with snakes like that. Uh-uh. Not me. Some of you, it may be a call to full-time ministry. Some of you, God may send to Africa. Some of you may send around the world. For many of us in the room today, it's not about God sending us on a to a foreign country, and it's not, for many of us here, it's not even about making a career change into a ministry career. It's about being the person God called you to be right where you are in the job where you are, serving the people that are in front of you every day as faithfully as you can. It's saying, God, I'm available. When I meet somebody on the street and I see them weeping, God, I'll pray for them, and if you desire me to do so, I'll speak to them. God, when anybody is in need, God, I'm available to give out of much that I have to those who don't have. God, when somebody's hurting, I'll cook a meal for them. God wants you to use the talents he's given you for the needs that are right in front of you so that he may receive glory. Don't wait to pray this prayer when you're ready to go to Bible college. You can pray it today and make a difference in your world today. I love what God's doing in our community and through this precious body. He's healing sick people. I've got more healing stories to tell y'all than I can tell. Lady in service just a few weeks back was healed from back pain. She'd had chronic back pain for so long, and she came to this altar and prayed. And she said she didn't really feel anything when they prayed. That's how it works sometimes. She said, but I went home. She said, I realized I was lifting my arm. I was bending over. I was reaching up into cabinets that I couldn't reach up into. She said, God healed my back. I spent a couple months ago, and she's healed. Permanently. She went out with some friends a couple of weeks ago, two of her best friends, and she said, I got to tell y'all something. I went up to the altar and I got prayed for, and God healed my back. One of her friends is battling cancer on her face. It's actually on her nose. She got cancer on her nose, and they were going to have to remove a part of her nose to deal with the cancer. That lady went home and she put some medicine on her nose and put it like a bandage over it. And she prayed before going to bed that night. She said, Lord, I need what happened to her. Can you let what happened at Upward happen to me? She woke up in the middle of the night and she said she felt electricity running in her throat and in her head. She got up the next morning, took the bandage off, no cancer. Not gonna have surgery. Healed. In fact, I think she's coming to church today. You know what I love about that? It's not preachers. You don't have to have an advanced degree. You don't have to be able to stand into a pulpit. It's ordinary people who just say, God, here's my sick friend. Send me. Send me. Here's what I'm asking you today. If you don't know Jesus, will you pray, Lord, I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. Lord, forgive me. But if you know Jesus, I'm asking you, will you make yourself available to him today and say, Lord, here's my life. Send me. Every blessing you've given to me is available to you, including my whole life. Would you bow with me today? Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a wonderful time together with the family of God, with the people of God. Thank you for everybody that's here. Do your work, God, in us and through us. I ask you today, heads bowed and eyes closed, please. You're here today. How many would say, and we're not going to embarrass anybody, we don't do that, but how many would say here today, I'm saying yes to Jesus Christ this morning. As my Lord and as my Savior, I'm saying yes to Jesus right now. Would you raise your hand up high so I can see it right now? God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Four of them. Awesome, awesome, awesome. How many would say this sincerely? Here I am, Lord, send me. I'm available. I make my life available to you, Jesus. Can I see your hands up high right now? Lord, I make my life available to you all over the building. Incredible. I want to pray right now with those saying yes to Jesus. Pray with us. Church is going to help us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Savior and my Lord. I receive you today. I receive your forgiveness. Help me to forgive myself and move forward in freedom. From this day forward, I'm yours, Jesus. Send me. Amen. Amen. Can we? All right. I'll bless you today. I just feel the word forward. You are moving forward. The enemy's wanting to speak to you today and tell you that you're stalled or that your future is backward. And I believe that God's declaring forward over you today and over this whole body here today. The things that are meant to slow you down are only going to enhance your progress. Will you hear that today? Will you receive that today? The things that are thrown at you that you think are slowing you down are actually enhancing your progress. Keep your hand in God's hand and keep on doing what you know to do. That's all he asks of you. And he's going to move you forward because he's the one that does that. I bless you with that. Forward today in Jesus' name. Now I commission you. Go out of this place. Make Jesus known in his presence, in his power, in his love, everywhere you go. All right? Love y'all. See you next week. We'll have a ball next week. Can't wait. Invite your friends.